I guess the word had gotten out that the president was planning to sign it, and we wanted to make sure that as the states, we were among the first ones to challenge it. When we first filed the suit, there were 13 states plus the state of Virginia, which filed their own suit, so we've always considered it 14. Since that time, it's grown to 26 states now.
So what prompted Idaho to sign on? I know that there was the Idaho Health Freedom Act that came out in the legislature, where the legislature and the governor basically said the attorney general must sue if the law passes. But Lawrence Wasdin and the AG's office, they were already preparing for that before the Health Freedom Act ever came out.
That's correct. And I think that what you see is you see one of those great examples where both the executive and the legislative branch agree wholeheartedly that we have to take action. And luckily, we were in there early enough that when the legislature's pronouncement of the policy of the state came through, we legally had already set everything in motion that we needed to make sure that we were one of the early entrants into this lawsuit. And as the AG himself has put it, it's designed to protect the rights of Idaho citizens.
What role does Idaho play in all this? We're hearing a lot on the national stage. We know it affects states. We know it'll affect Medicaid budgets and individual Idahoans. But what role has Idaho played in this so far? I assume there's some cost attached to our being part of the lawsuit?
Yes. One of the things that Idaho has done is we've been part of a cost-sharing agreement with all of the other states. And so Idaho has, I think at this point, we're somewhere around $20,000 that we've paid to participate in this suit, which in the world of litigation is a tremendous bargain, especially when you think about the caliber of attorneys that we have representing us.
What happens if the Supreme Court says the law is fine, don't worry about it?
That's a very good question, and I think that it's one of those issues that will really shape Idaho's political debate over the next year, and maybe beyond that for a year or two. So if the court were to come out and say, yes, it is valid, I think that Idaho comes to a few decision points. Does Idaho want to create a system that governs Idaho's citizens, or does Idaho want to step back and say, okay, federal government, you've created the system, come in and set it up? Those are significant policy points. Our office would be charged at that point to defend whatever the decision is that the governor and the legislature make on either of those courses. We're probably going to be the ones that defend those decisions.
So what happens if the court comes back and says one or other of the issues is not something they're in favor of or that they rule in favor of? And then what happens with Idaho?
Well, I think that at that point, the court will have to make two decisions. So the one decision that they can make is that they will uphold the entirety of the law. If they make a different decision, meaning they strike down the individual mandate or they strike down the Medicaid expansion, the court will probably have to reach what I call decision two at that point, which is, are those provisions severable from the entirety of the act? Because if it is severable, then it becomes the individual mandate lifts out cleanly. And so Idaho still has to comply with the remainder of the law, just not the individual mandate portion, or vice versa. Idaho has to comply with the remainder of the law, but not the Medicaid expansion provision. And so it all depends on how the court sorts it out.
So you just wait and see what happens?
Yes.
And then you act?
Unfortunately, we are at a point where we're entirely reactive to how the Supreme Court decides.